Welcome to Training for Womanhood. Be fit, be healthy, be happy. Where I help you go through some of the overlooked health issues that we as women go through during womanhood. Welcome to another episode of Training for Womanhood. Be fit, be healthy, be happy. Today I'm going to talk about menopause and hot flushes and some strategies that could help going forward. Look at some nutrition tactics that will help you with hot flushes as well. And why do we get hot flushes and why do they impact some women more than others? So if we're talking about hot flushes, 85% of women have issues with hot flushes during perimenopause and menopause. So that means when I'm at the gym and I'm coaching my clients who are 40 and over, they will all possibly have some hot flush issues, sudden flushes of body heat. And, you know, these can range from being quite mild to being really overwhelmingly unpleasant. You know, you might sweat a lot. And if your skin is lighter, you will have a red face, you'll turn red, and you'll be blushing quite furiously. You might opt for release by rushing to an open fridge or freezer. What I've done, I've rushed outside, opened the door and rushed outside, splash water on your face, all manner of things to cool yourself down. And then minutes later, you're freezing and you're bathed in cold sweat. Your heart feels like it's racing and thumping out of your chest. And of course, none of this is pleasant. None of it is fun. Again, and imagine how this can interrupt the day-to-day of some women in an office, whether you're in a meeting, at an important event, or even the chance of having a good night's sleep is always disrupted by the hot flush. And even when I'm, you know, working with clients in the gym, women do become quite embarrassed when they break out in these hot flushes and just look like someone has taken a bucket of water and thrown over them. For some women, hot flushes can be really, really intense. And this intensity can cause some women to stop what they're doing, i.e. stop going out, stop going to the gym for the fear of breaking out in these hot sweats. But fortunately, there's some nutrition strategies that we can bring on board to help with these hot flushes. First of all, why do we call these sudden increases in heat hot flushes rather than flashes? Well, a flash would imply that something is over in a minute, over in seconds. But we know that these hot flushes last for 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes, sometimes 10 minutes, if not more. So the term hot flush is kind of more appropriate, more accurate. And we get these hot flushes due to increased sensitivity to changes in body temperature. So we know the drop in estrogen levels during menopause increases the sensitivity of key neurons in the brain, especially in the hypothalamus, which is our heat regulator, our thermostat. This thermostat starts to go a little askew during this time. When the body temperature goes up even just a bit, the hypothalamus seems to overcorrect itself and it responds as if you're lost in the desert in 110 degrees heat. This overreaction triggers blood vessels near the skin surface to dilate. The wider the vessels, the more the blood flow to the surface of the skin. On top of those dilating blood vessels, you've got the brain and the sweat glands. They get geared up to produce the waterworks. So now, client heart rate may even go up between 5 and 25 beats per minute, leading to anxiety-like sensations. So each flush may last from a few seconds to a whole 10 minutes. You never know. But afterwards, many women experience the opposite sensation. As their body temperature drops, they feel chilly and shivery. But generally, hot flashes are more frequent and intense as women move towards menopause. And then they peak around a year after the final menstrual period. But again, everybody is different. Genetics, race and ethnicity can affect the severity and frequency of hot flashes. For example, Black women, African women, African American women are most likely to report symptoms, and women of Asian descent are the least likely to report symptoms. But also, underlying health issues can also play a role. High blood pressure, along with stiff blood vessels, may predispose some women to more frequent and intense hot flashes. So as I mentioned before, during menopause, the brain can overreact to slight increases in body temperature. So let's take a look at it. When we eat something, what happens to our body temperature? Exactly, it goes up just a bit. That's because digestion is such hard work. To digest, the body releases heat and it breaks down food into tiny, tiny bits, enough to be absorbed into the bloodstream. So it takes more energy to break down meat than it does any other food type. Thankfully, most women aren't bothered by every food they consume. So hot flushes are triggered by specific foods and drinks, and sometimes specific amounts of those foods. So for example, you might be able to eat 1, 2, or 3 spicy chicken wings. But once you eat your fourth, it's game over. Everybody is unique. And what makes someone's hot flush better or worse than another's will be unique as well. What we need to do is become scientists of our own bodies, testing, experimenting, gathering that data to discover what works or what doesn't work. And this will put the power back into your own hands. Even if you're not sure what's working yet, you're going to take action to find out what works and what doesn't work for you. And this can be really empowering and inspire you to keep trying new things to find new solutions. In general, we've heard women say that hot foods, meaning hot in temperature, tend to be more of a trigger than cold foods. But there are other possible triggers. The trick is figuring out what seems to affect you and your unique body. A great tool that you can use is a food and symptoms journal. Any book, any piece of paper, use it day in and day out. Spend a few days tracking your foods and tracking your hot flashes as well. Take a look at it and see where the pattern lies. From there, you can make the decision whether you want to experiment further. If you like spicy food, for example, you don't need to stop eating it. But you might try to find something a bit milder for a week and see what happens. So approach this opportunity with curiosity rather than judgment. So approach this opportunity with curiosity because you want to know what makes you sweat, what makes you flush, and what doesn't. And when you know, you can plan accordingly. If we take a look at alcohol, as we know, dilates the blood vessels. And this will, of course, lead to more hot flushes. Caffeine has a similar effect, especially as a hot drink. So again, consider using your food and symptoms journal and track how alcohol and caffeine affects you and your hot flashes. Some women decide that caffeine or alcohol, both, is worth the heat and carry on drinking both regardless, as long as you're armed with the necessary information of what will happen once you drink it. You can plan accordingly. The point is that you're making a conscious, empowered choice. But also, whilst I'm talking about drinking in general, please hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. And if you think you haven't hydrated enough, hydrate some more. Water is key and will help alleviate things like digestive issues, headaches, tiredness, poor concentration, and some of the body temperature regulation issues that I have spoken about. Let's take a look at more minimally processed foods, fish, vegetables, whole grains, and other lesser processed foods are chock full of symptom fighting nutrients. They've got healthy omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids, which can reduce the frequency and severity of hot flashes. We've got isoflavones and other phytoestrogens, like those found in soy and in many other plant foods. These help too, though the research is a bit mixed. But these nutrients replicate estrogen. So it's kind of like you're adding estrogen to the body once you consume them. Magnesium, magnesium, magnesium. Known to decrease hot flashes as well as insomnia, palpitations, and irritability in some women. Plus, a diet rich in minimally processed foods is good for health in general, especially during midlife. We've got calcium, copper, and other trace minerals available in minimally processed foods. These help support bone density, and iron, zinc may support cognitive health, something we all need to eat more of. If you currently eat highly processed foods, I don't expect you to overhaul your kitchen all at once. Take your time, make some small changes weekly. Be consistent and shift toward a minimally processed food diet. Move away from the high processed ones. So for example, if you're going to have fries with a burger, you might order a side salad with it instead, or have some sliced apples as well, or even a baked potato. But remember, the small changes do add up. You don't need to rush and do everything all at once. So there you have it. Processed foods can help to calm hot flushes. You know why we get hot flushes. We know about alcohol, we know about caffeine and other food triggers that can sometimes bring on these hot flushes. Because every woman is unique, you need to experiment. You need to be tuned into what foods causes you to flush and which foods have the opposite effect. Once you know, you have more control. And that's it. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Training for Womanhood. Be fit, be healthy, be happy. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Training for Womanhood. Be fit, be healthy, be happy. Please stay tuned for future episodes and do please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow me on Instagram at dnice.fitness. That's D-N-Y-C-E. Or via my website, dnicefitness.co.uk. I'd love to hear from you. And if you have questions of your own or need advice about your health and well-being or womanhood in general, please do send them through my way and I'll respond directly and also in future episodes. This podcast has been brought to you by D-Nice Fitness and produced by the great team at the Podcast Boutique. I'm your host, Denise Campbell. Have a wonderful week. Until next time.